Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 100.
Holy shit, we were probably supposed to like do something special this time, weren't we? Oh well.
Probably, but just the fact that we're able to get everyone together is a feat in and of itself.
Special enough.
So it's a centennial then, huh?
Yeah. Apparently. It only took us 11 years. Just over 11 years.
Hey, we cranked out 100 of these in less time than it took to make a Posthumous Man sequel, so...
Or Half-Life 3.
Oh, yeah. Easily between Half-Life 3.
We'll probably make another 100 of these before that happens.
Before that comes out? Or another Duke Nukem?
Well, we've only been doing 12 a year, so it's definitely slowed down, but at least it's consistent again.
That is true.
Because, you know, if we would have kept going bi-weekly, we would have been, 240 episodes by now or something like that?
Yeah, if we went bi-weekly or whatever, it'd be like we would have hit 100 in year 4.
Like my show, I actually have no idea what episode number we're on. It's just a blur now.
Just numb. Yeah.
You can't imagine how big of a number your show's on.
Oh boy, that story.
No, I said that I have no idea. I think it's probably like 280 or something like that.
Holy
200
shit.
Something. All right, so what are our topics for this month's podcast?
I don't even know.
Oh, Jason Jones and Parker Dillman are here. So
oh,
it's
yes.
Jason Jones and
Parker. I am Jones.
I am Parker.
I don't know if I have any feedback if people like Parker being on, but who cares? All right, Parker, why don't you tell us what cool topics we're going to discuss?
Okay, so we have here open world gaming. What is it? How do we feel about it? Switch impressions. That's probably on me since I actually own one. Horizon Zero Dawn for the PS4 Pro, 4K content. We'll probably talk a little bit about the Steam UI and how much of it's a piece of garbage. We have GTA sales numbers, because apparently that's like the biggest game of all time, right?
One of. Let's see, Passengers. Yeah, I want to see Passengers, but it didn't get very good reviews.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
I was going to talk about, there's one plot hole that I found in it, but it wasn't game-breaking. I actually thought about the next day, and I'm like, oh, okay. But it's actually a pretty good movie. I would recommend people go see it. I'm not going to spoil it for you all.
Only one plot hole is pretty good for a movie these days. So.
Yeah, especially a sci-fi movie that, you know, that's like that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably someone out there that's like, excuse me, eight plot holes in that movie.
Did Logan come out since the last podcast? Because I saw that movie.
Yes.
It did. Okay. You've actually been to a theater more recently than I have. This is,
you know,
like a new thing.
It's weird. I saw almost as many movies in a 1 week period earlier last month than I did all last year. Because I only saw 3 movies in the theater last year. But this year I've already seen, I saw Logan and then Kong Skull Island, like days of each other.
Oh, you saw that too?
Yeah. When I was down in Benton working on pinball, and Chuck's like, we got to go see Kong. And I'm like, fine.
Aha, yes. I should have known Chuck would be involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a movie with it's all right.
It's a movie.
It looked like it'd be all right.
BenHeck 2017.
Well, during the action sequences, they pull the camera back far enough so you can see what the hell's going on, and all the action sequences take place not during rainstorms in the ocean underwater. Pacific Rim.
That's a good start. Yeah.
So it's not like Transformers, which just looks like a bundle of like aluminum foil rolled across the screen.
Oh no, you can definitely definitely tell what's going on when Kong is fighting monsters.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I saw John Wick Chapter 2 twice.
Ooh.
That's all I've seen so far this year.
Well, that counts as 2 movies, isn't it?
Sure.
It should, because it's awesome, so.
Yeah, I still need to go see that movie.
Do you think R-rated movies are going to make a comeback now?
They kind of feel like it. I mean, Logan went over 200. Wick's pretty close to 100 million, which for that type of movie is pretty damn impressive.
Hopefully they make a comeback. Because like with Logan, it's like, oh, here's what would actually happen if someone got attacked by a guy with metal claws. It actually gave like some kind of gravity, you know, to the situation.
I do need to see that.
Then you have like Lucy opening really well, and then Ghost in the Shell opening like shit. So,
Well, I think we predicted on the last podcast that Ghost in the Shell wasn't going to do good.
Did we talk about it?
I don't know. Did we talk about it? I don't know.
I don't. I remember talking to Ben about it.
We would have predicted that if we, if we did.
Hindsight's 2020. We would have predicted that.
I was interested in seeing it, but then I watched that like 5-minute clip online that they had, and it just seemed dull as dishwater.
I'm still going to go watch it because I'm a fan of the show, but.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch it just because it looks like you basically just get to watch Scarlett Johansson run around basically wearing nothing for like 2 hours.
So it's like Under the Skin with guns.
Yeah, so, if they would have advertised it like that, I probably would have been in the theater. Wick 2 was impressive, just because, like, I remember when I watched the first John Wick, and then I heard they're making a sequel, I was like, I don't know if they're going to capture that lightning in a bottle twice. But
were you worried about a Transporter 2 kind of situation?
Kinda, yeah, you know, but... they did a really good job. They kind of expanded on the whole mythology from the first movie with, like, the Continental, and they, you know, added some things into it. And...
did they kill his kitten this time?
No. But there is a moment where his dog and something might have happened, but you're sitting there and you're like, okay, if they kill the fucking dog again, you're going to lose the whole audience, and they were smart enough to realize that, so...
Cool.
That's very early in the movie when that happens, so it's not really a spoiler. But
so it's not John Wick 2, All Dogs Go to Heaven.
No, but it is. But they have like nice continuity because like the dog he's got in the new movie, it's the one that at the very end of the first movie that he grabs out of that hound or kennel or whatever he ends up by.
Have you seen John Wick, Parker?
I have not seen it. I want to. Oh, no, I've seen the first one. I've seen the first one. I haven't seen the second one yet, though.
It's just so incredibly satisfying, you know, like that movie, because it's like...
Well, it's just shot so well. That's the whole thing about it. Every action sequence is just so satisfying just to watch. Because it's...
Oh, yeah.
They pulled the camera back, and so you can see what's going on.
Yeah.
Well, what I like, though, too, is just the fact that it's like... It's one of those very rare movies where... You know, this thing happens, so like the awful thing happens at the beginning, and then everything you want to see happen after that point happens.
Exactly. Well, it's like, as I so say, John Wick is the perfect revenge movie.
Pretty much, yeah.
I read one review that talked about it, and they said, you know, it's a movie that knows exactly what it is and nothing more, and you don't really see enough of that anymore with films. Like, movies are always trying to set up this big, stupid mythology, and they have overly complex plots, and
they have backstory that you don't know about.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at a movie like Roadhouse, it's the same kind of thing. It's
Roadhouse.
No, it's just it's a very solid, straightforward movie.
Yeah,
and that's what I mean, I like that about Logan as well. It's like, it was more important, like, what it wasn't more than what it was. And it's like, oh, it's a straightforward movie. Here are the bad guys, here are the good guys, and just go. And you rarely get that anymore. So I think that's why people are maybe gravitating toward these other kind of films that are kind of almost old-fashioned in a way.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it does, you know, like Wick feels a little bit, you know, kind of like a throwback. Like it would have been a, you know, late 80s, early 90s type.
I was about to say early 90s.
You know, but...
Right.
That's cool. I'd highly recommend the new one. It's definitely worth seeing. It's a very worthy successor to the original, so.
Nice. Okay. Well, I don't think John Wick was one of our topics, but it was now.
It should always be a topic.
It should always be a topic. That movie's awesome.
It's like my go-to movie anymore when I'm just like sitting around. I don't know what to put on, even for background noise. I'll throw on like the club scene from John Wick. It's just so great.
Yeah.
The music's awesome. It's a good time.
So hopefully we can get more R-rated movies. If you make them, we'll go to them. Really?
That's true. I should go to Logan for that reason alone.
Yeah, we have three tickets here that you'll sell.
Yeah. I mean, we'll register as a blip on the radar, but, you know, still.
Well, it's you more know than one.
You know what is also good about Logan is things ending in it.
Nice.
Like, oh, it didn't, like, leave crap open for possibly a sequel next year. Nope. They wrapped everything up.
That is good because they basically had to because Jackman said he wasn't going to do anymore.
Good.
Although I bet you Fox now, after the success of that movie, they're probably trying really hard to find a dump truck to fill up with enough money to bring him back.
Let's just say it would have to be a prequel. I'll just say that. So.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. Logan,
when you said there was finality to it, I kind of thought maybe there'd be something along those lines.
So. If you think about it with movies,
great.
If Shawshank Redemption was made today, right?
Oh, God.
Like, the guy would go to the beach, and then Morgan Freeman would walk up to the beach, and they would, like, look at each other. But then after the credits, you'd see, like, that mean prison guard. Like, oh, he's escaping from prison, too. And, oh, is he going to come get them in a sequel?
Yeah. And
you don't have any closure anymore in movies. Like, you don't have the satisfaction of, like, oh, look, he crawled through the shitty pipe and escaped, and so did Morgan Freeman. And Morgan Freeman didn't hang himself, and they're both happy now. And there's no closure with films now. Everything's like, ooh, what's going to happen next to Tony Stark? What's going to happen next to Spider-Man? And it sucks.
Well, yeah, because they set it up where modern movies play for the sequels, because sequels are cheaper than the, you know, actually having to rewrite a new story.
It's not necessarily cheaper. It's a safer bet.
Okay, that's a better way. Well,
like I was
it's cheaper investment, I guess, is
I, less risky.
I really enjoyed Creed, but I really wanted Rocky to die in it, and I was disappointed that he didn't die.
Although, like the way it went, like I really liked what they did with Stallone's character in it. At least, like, you know, he wasn't the total focus of the movie, which was nice.
Yeah, so. But if they make another one, I hope he dies. I just want to see
characters. He gets punched so hard that he's gone.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I got brain tumor again.
He gets all his blood punched out.
That's why Rogue One, one of the things I liked about that is, like, you already knew what came after it.
But the thing is, it didn't matter, though.
I did like how everyone died at the end and how the movie ended very quickly.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, you already knew what was coming next, so they didn't have to set it up because the sequel to it had already happened. So, they could drive to a particular destination. So maybe we need more prequels.
Well, they're going to make that Han Solo movie, and you know Han Solo is not going to die because it's a prequel for his origin story.
I don't give a crap.
That one I don't give a fuck about. That one I do not care. But you know they're going to have the shit in there where they'll show how he won the Millennium Falcon from Lando, which I don't even give a shit about seeing because it's not going to be Harrison Ford and Billy Dee Williams.
See, this is the thing. It's like, that was my problem with Rogue One. It's like, it's an entire universe or galaxy or whatever of things you could have happen, and everything revolves around Death Stars, the Millennium Falcon, and Luke Skywalker.
Well,
that's
the
Star Wars universe.
I mean, what George Lucas said, though, is so Star Wars is about the Skywalker family.
That's what the
main saga is. I mean, he said that. I know he doesn't have control over it anymore, but...
Well, that's what Disney's saying, too. They're basically saying the episodes are the Skywalker family story, and then that's why they're doing these, whatever
anthology.
They call it, a Star Wars tale or whatever the hell it is, Star Wars story things, because then they can go off and tell other stories, which I think, you know, is a good idea. Like, I liked Rogue One. And
yeah, they're telling other stories that are removed by about 3 inches from the main story. Ooh.
Well, I mean, yeah, the first one is like... And so the second one is more removed. It sure has the same character.
I want...
But it's something that we haven't seen at all yet. When we don't know... We actually don't know much about his past. What happened before the Rebellion.
What, Han Solo?
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't give a crap. I know everything about Han Solo.
Well, then go see it, Ben.
I don't need to see how he met Chewie. You know, it's like I don't need to see him
and
win
course,
the Millennium Falcon.
All these events are going to take place within like 3 days of each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, how do you fit an entire person's life in what, 2 hours?
Yep. It'll be like the opening
and make
of
it coherent.
Indiana Jones and Last Crusade. It's like, oh, look, here's why he doesn't like snakes. Here's where his scar on his chin comes from, and here's where his hat comes from. All from one trip.
Yeah.
How convenient.
Yeah, I don't envy that poor bastard who has to try to be young Harrison Ford.
So are there like two senators per planet, or how does that work? Or is this just one?
I think it's a group.
I'm trying to think because it was like
some planets have multiple people in their booth. It was that episode two.
Well, see, they had multiple people in there in Phantom Menace, but it was, I think there was only like one senator because it was like
for
a
planet.
Palpatine.
But what if he had a larger planet?
And then those other people were like his, you know, like
entourage,
assistants or something like that. And then like, you know,
bouncers.
He became chancellor, so then Padme became senator.
Okay.
Jar Jar had to step in for her at some point, you know.
So she was the queen, and then she became a senator.
Yeah.
Also, explain, why does every planet in Star Wars only have one biome in it? It's like tree planet, ice planet, dirt planet. Apparently there's a casino planet in the next
Yoda
one.
Planet.
Naboo's actually got some variety. It's got like water and, you know, it's more like
and sand.
Regular planet.
Sand and sunflowers. Don't forget sunflowers.
And
yeah.
Stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess the reason I bring that up is so, like, do the Gungans have a representative in the Galactic Senate or not?
Well, they did when Jar Jar stepped in for Padme when she had to go into seclusion.
Right, but if you think about it, then they weren't represented before that.
Well, I think that's
it's like
on
there's only
a
one probably represented on planet. The planet, though.
Yeah, so I think it's more of you pick all everyone on that planet picks their representative to go to the Galactic Senate.
Is that why Boss Nass didn't like the Naboo? Well, he calls them the Naboo, and it's planet Naboo. So
yeah.
Really, it sounds like the Gungans are getting the short end of the stick.
Which makes you wonder, did the
you mean
Gungans
they should build
not
a wall
always
around the Gungans?
Be on Naboo? Maybe the Gungans came from another planet.
Well, isn't it more likely that the white people came from another planet?
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe
well,
the planet wasn't even called Naboo before, and then they
right,
showed
they were
up and named it.
Yeah, they were like, you know, when the the Europeans invaded North America, that kind of thing.
Yeah, could be.
Yes, yeah, since the Native Americans lived on the water.
This could be a movie. Like with the
movie
begins. And for some reason Watto should be there.
Yes.
He spells out the Gung people.
There's the movie I want to see is like just Watto. Just call it fucking Watto. It just shows him living his damn life. I would go see that movie.
Like a slice of life movie with Watto in it.
A day in the life of Watto.
Apparently Jar Jar has returned to canon in some sort of Star Wars novel. Like he becomes a juggler after the fall of the Empire or something.
Yeah, I
and
heard
that's
he shows,
canon?
I heard he shows up in the last of the Aftermath trilogy, which just came out like a month or so ago. And I read that. And I didn't read the book, but I read that thing that Jar Jar supposedly shows up in, and I'm just like, fuck you, Disney. If that's like all they're going to...
That's all they're going to give him?
If that's all they're going to do with him, it's like they just fucking bunch of douchebags. It's like they could have done so many cool things with his character, but no, they take the like easy pussy way out, basically.
You know, really, Jar Jar should have died in episode 3, like trying to protect younglings or something.
Yep.
That he should have had some
so
chance.
Awesome. He should have died in the Jedi Temple trying to protect him. He
and also
like picked up a lightsaber and tried to defend him. And then Anakin, who was like his friend, like cuts him down and all this shit.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a cool sequence.
It's like it would have helped redeem Jar Jar to some extent. And then, you know, the idiots that are like, ah, fuck Jar Jar. It's like, well, then they'd get their death that they apparently want. And
maybe that's why they didn't do it, because people would cheer when he died.
Probably, but it's all. It would also,
of course,
show,
people cheer when the fascist bastard Darth Vader mows everyone down at the end of Rogue One. So,
well, that was because that was the first time in three movies we actually, in three movies we saw Darth Vader actually do something badass.
Thing is, if you go through all those movies, though, and probably count all the ways where if they would have just used the Force in a certain way, how differently things would have turned out. There's probably a lot of those moments.
Where he Force chokes Natalie Portman.
He does.
Yeah, I always kind of wish that Obi-Wan would have been responsible for her death. That would have made more sense.
It would have made more. I mean, they kind of tried to go there by making it where Anakin thinks that she betrayed him because of Obi-Wan or whatever, but it's like they could have come up with something a lot more damning. Like, I always thought it should have been like somehow Obi-Wan does something and it results in her death. Which would make more sense for Anakin, like, turning on him.
It would also give Obi-Wan more guilt to go into hiding.
Yes, yeah. So Parker, you like got a Switch or something?
Yeah, I got it on launch day.
Nice.
So guess what? Guess how many times it's been out of the dock?
Zero. Well, you probably did it once just to try it.
It's been out of the dock about 5 times. And that's because you can take it to the bathroom while you still keep playing Zelda.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
It's
a practical use.
Yeah, it's practical use. Mainly because, I'll put it this way, Ben probably can attest, the Joy-Cons are absolutely garbage to play video games with.
Oh, like, yeah.
When it's, like, in the grip things that are on the side? Well, are those the Joy-Cons?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So when it's attached to the console, it's definitely not made for Texan-American hands.
As opposed to French hands.
Yeah,
I think it'll continue to sell well in Japan long after America's forgotten about it.
Yeah.
Because Japan is a much bigger commuter country than we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say if you get a Switch, get the Pro Controller, which is like their Wii U Pro Controller or whatever. I would actually say that's my favorite controller of all time, though, that Pro Controller. It beats out the 360, the PS4, and the Xbox One, in my opinion.
Wow. Yeah, we're actually going to do a Switch mod episode where we're going to 3D print an extension for the right Joy-Con and put the analog stick where it should be.
Oh, thank God. So, that should be stock.
The problem with it, Jones, is you know how they try to make the Joy-Cons like symmetrical, sort of? Mm-hmm. The one on the right, you know how like you take your thumb and you rotate it down 45 degrees to like touch a analog stick normally,
mm-hmm.
on like a PlayStation or Xbox? On the Switch, it's directly below the 4 face buttons.
Oh.
And it's super awkward.
Yeah.
And
you catch it with kind of the middle of your thumb then?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the fact that you like hit it with your thumb. It's the fact that it's not where it's supposed to be. Yeah. And it's a little bit more palatable when you have the Joy-Cons plugged into that controller
thing.
They
call it the dog face controller.
Yeah, you know where you clip them in and make a separate controller?
Yeah.
That's a little better, but not much. But yeah, like playing it on the system, like, it's pretty bad. There's really nothing that rests in your palms.
No.
So it's kind of hard to grip.
Yeah, you pretty much have it's.
And it's too thin.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it could be a lot better if they just made it thicker.
Right.
I put a link in there. And that's the Pro Controller, and that thing is amazing. That is the best controller I've ever used.
It's almost like Nintendo should have just made a normal console. What?
Yeah. I'll put this way. The whole switching between dock and portable is completely seamless. So that's nice.
It's like, what, like maybe a second?
Yeah, if that. And I'm actually going to be able to try it because I'm going up to MGC in like, what, 3 days?
Uh-huh.
So I'll actually be able to bring it up there and maybe play it on the plane, see how it works there.
Oh, just like in the commercial?
Yeah. So I actually have it in my hand right now. I'll put it this way. The build quality of this thing is insane. It's probably the nicest piece of electronics I've ever ever purchased.
Nicer than like any one of the phones you've bought in recent years.
I've got a Pixel. I think it's better than the Pixel. And then I've have a the other piece of fancy electronics. I have a Sony Nex 5. It's almost as nice as that, I guess, because the Sony Nex 5's got a magnesium enclosure, which is really nice.
It's solidly built. I'm not sure I would say it's super spectacular. I like that it was screwed together, not glued together, though. That was
or snapped together. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was actually built. It's built a lot more like a little laptop than a tablet, for sure. But
you,
did
you
notice
anything with it other than Zelda?
Nope. I've only played. I actually haven't even finished Zelda yet.
Jones, nobody has.
There's no other games for
it. I was just wondering, like, what else? Like, can it do anything else, though?
So,
you know, like, can you play, like, Netflix or...
There's... No. Nothing.
Wow.
It's
okay.
only thing that... There's some, like, you know, that virtual console stuff up, but I don't have any interest in that. You know? As
I said before, it's
going to be a Zelda player for me, so...
It has... You know how cartridges... You know, people are like, there's no load times with cartridges, even though there's load times.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, if there's a cartridge, the 4 gigs of RAM just magically fills up because it's a cartridge. You don't have to transfer any data. It's magic.
I'll put it this way. This is the first console I've played in... I think this is the first console I've personally owned since the Wii. I've forgotten how bad load times are because I've been on a PC with a solid-state drive and... Even like Battlefield 1, which is a brand new game, that game loads in like 10 seconds for me.
Yeah, but you're also talking about like a Switch and a Wii's load times compared to like what a PS4 or like an Xbox One will do.
The thing is, Digital Foundry did tests, and this is what really confounded me, Parker. So when we did the teardown, I was like, oh, look, the cartridge has, what, it had like 12 connectors on the bottom of it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, something like that.
So I assumed it had like an 8-bit data interface. But I guess if you put games on SD card, the SD card actually loads ever so slightly faster than the cartridges.
Yeah, it must be something how the bus is set up.
Yeah, there was a weird thing when I took it apart. There's a chip right below the cartridge, it might be some sort of like a compressor, decompressor chip.
Or encryption.
Yeah, and then it's also on the same connector bus with the screen. So I don't know if there's some sort of...
That would make sense.
Yeah, that actually might. There might be some sort of bandwidth issue there.
Yeah, it might be where it loads faster when you're in dock, just from that fact that the bus isn't doing anything.
Well, though, it loads faster off if you buy a game and put it on the like an SD card, that loads faster.
Well,
than
in
the real
dock
games.
Mode or in handheld mode.
In any mode.
Okay.
And then, of course, the internal flash loads like a few seconds faster than the SD card as well.
Well, and to beat our, you know, dead horse that we bring up like every episode, it's like, like, the Switch came out, they had stuff like on IGN, so they had like the first 15 minutes of Zelda gameplay on there, so I watched that, and I was like, if they would bring this out on Xbox, PlayStation, whatever, I would probably buy this game. And I've got multiple coworkers who said the same thing. They're like, I'm not going to go and spend, you know, $300.
It's a $360 game.
Yeah, yeah, they were just like, I'm not going to spend that. But they were like, yeah, I've got like a PS4 sitting at home. It's like they just, they could have.
They have a game for that. It's called Horizon Zero Dawn.
It's different than Zelda, though. I mean,
that's way different.
But it's just like, Jesus, when are they going to get the point?
Yeah, I would agree. I'd rather not spend. I'll put it this way: I'd rather spend $100 to buy a Zelda game than $60 for the game and $300 for the console.
Well, in a lot of games anymore, you pay $100 for
it,
anyways.
Nintendo,
once you buy all the DLC and everything, anyways, so.
Exactly.
Yeah,
actually going to be the first Zelda game with DLC.
Yeah, you can put the DLC on your whopping 25 gigs of free space.
Yeah, exactly. So
I don't care what Nintendo analysts say. Like, they're like, oh, we're going to double our estimates to 16 million units sold for 2017. I just We'll see it.
You and Parker they need another game. I know that bought them, and you only got one because you're going to tear it apart for your show.
I didn't buy it. Max did. I don't want that goddamn thing.
And
he bought it for the show, though, didn't he? Or did he buy it personally?
I think he bought it for the show, but Karen bought one. I don't know if she plays that, though.
There's a couple people that got them then, I guess.
And to all the people who think Zelda is hard, the new one, get good.
Yeah, wow. Go back and play, like, late 80s Nintendo games if you want something that's got a freaking challenge to it.
Or anything kind of modern would be, like, Dark Souls. Like, that's a hard game.
Yeah.
I'm still actually, like, I've been 2 years working through the first Dark Souls game. Still haven't beaten yet. Almost there. Two more bosses to go.
It's like, remember the old days when you'd play, like, those, I think, like, Kid Icarus was like this, where they didn't have a battery in them, so you didn't save your progress. And sometimes you'd get, like, a code that you could write down to get back to where you were in some games.
Yeah.
But a lot of them, it was just, like, you got as far as you got in your play session. And then if you didn't beat it, well, guess what? You got to start over the next time and play it again.
Well, old games were also difficult to make up for the fact they weren't very long.
Yeah, true. But
why can't you have both? A long game that's also hard. I.e., that's what Dark Souls is.
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls. Like, for me, I don't give a shit about difficulty. I know some people that love difficulty in games. Me, I don't want it to be too easy, but I don't want it to be too difficult either, because it's like, you know what? I work all fucking day. I want to come home. I want to, like, chill out and just, like, enjoy something. And I don't get a lot of pleasure from, like, beating my head against the wall, so...
I like the difficulty in... I don't like bullshit difficulty. Like...
Yeah.
I like the difficulty where, you know, this guy has got a certain set of moves, and so you have to learn the moves to be able to defeat him. That's like the Dark Souls, like, model.
Right.
The bullshit stuff is like, oh, this guy has so much health, and...
Yeah.
He's just bullet sponge at that point. That's the BS stuff.
Yeah, I like that's what I like in MMOs. Like, I've been playing a lot of those the last few years, but yeah, like dungeons and raid bosses and stuff like that. Like, they always, if the good ones have really interesting mechanics,
yep.
You know, it takes, like, teamwork, coordination, you know, to figure them out, and those are a lot of fun. But yeah, when they're just like, oh, we're going to make it more difficult by just, like, you know, hard mode. Oh, now the boss has double the hit points. It's like,
yeah.
Not harder. That's just, it's going to take longer.
That's the Borderlands model. Bullet sponge.
I ran into that difficulty curve with Horizon Zero Dawn. I probably went to a location that was above my level, for one thing. But then there was a boss. It was like a robot alligator. And then they did the classic thing where they're like, they were like, oh, it's probably not quite difficult enough, so let's throw in another random bad guy as well. So you have to fight two things at once. And yeah, it probably took me like 10 tries to beat that. And it was weird because I wasn't used to games being that difficult because I haven't played Dark Souls. But it got to the point where I'm like, oh, this is a little ridiculous. You know, like the amount of difficulty it took to beat it.
Three or four times would have been okay. But yeah, like when it's to 10 times, it's like, okay. Well,
it's an area that Ben shouldn't have been in, and that's why it was hard for him.
True.
Yeah, I don't think it was... Yeah, maybe. Because
that's the thing
is... that game is you can kind of, like, drift pretty easily into areas you shouldn't be in, like, for your character level or...
Well, it's like Fallout New
Vegas. Yeah, because you can go wherever you want.
It's like, Fallout New Vegas, like, just north of where you spawn is, like all the... death claws in the entire area is like concentrated in that one area.
If
right away from the beginning area, and everyone's you can go there, and it's like, oh, I'm gonna go there and get all the loot, and you die instantly.
Yeah, if you beeline to New Vegas, that's where you hit all that stuff. You have to kind of go around New Vegas to even have a chance.
Final Fantasy 14's got some of that. Like, you'll be kind of in starter zone type area, but you can very easily drift into an area that's, you know, like 15 to 20 levels higher than you. And it's like, oh, shit, you get in there, and it's like, I might get out of here without getting one-shotted if I, you know, manage to navigate these trees. And
yeah, the new Zelda is the same way. It's, I mean, like, the first time you fight a ginormous, like, they have, in Zelda, they have the new one, they have a lot of, like, world bosses.
Oh, okay.
So there's, like, And so the first time you fight one, you actually do pretty well, and then he just one shots you pretty much. If you let him hit you, he'll just go, and you're like, oh, okay, that was all for my hearts. And there's still like bosses that I'll come across, and like they will one shot you if you let them hit you with their powerful attack that you didn't dodge. And so basically, the first time you come across them, you get hit the first time because you don't know what the precursors to that attack is like. How is the wind up for that attack?
Yeah.
So you have to learn that, and I think that's fine, but it's the bullshit stuff. Like, you know, if they do an attack like that's instant that you can't really, you know, dodge or anything like that.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a game that's like that. I think there's some World of Warcraft bosses, at least in the old school World of Warcraft, like vanilla. There's some bosses that will like just do an AoE attack, and you just like everyone takes damage. It's like, okay, that's bullshit.
Yeah, you've got to. That's where you have to. Yeah, have people that know what they're doing. Have your tanks know what they're doing and things like.
Well, yeah, but there'll be like you'll be like the boss will be doing something, and then everyone just takes AoE damage because the boss decided to do one attack, and but the boss doesn't even like have any precursors into actually doing that thing. Oh, it's like, okay. Oh, come on. You can't do anything.
I've seen arguments too. People say that Battlefield 1 is too casual. And yeah. Do you feel that way, Parker? I know you don't play it as much as I have.
Yeah, I would agree. I think every single game from Battlefield 2 on has gotten more casual. I think Bad Company 2 hit a really good spot because its gunplay was really good. Uh-huh. But ever since then, it's kind of like, I'll put it this way, is like, I keep going back to play Counter-Strike because it's a really technical, you know, it's a really technical shooter, which requires a lot of skill. Whereas in Battlefield 1, I mean, besides just like kind of clicking the mouse, it's pretty easy to, you know, control your gun.
Yeah.
So I would agree with those critics.
Yeah, the thing is, I play video games to have fun. If I wanted to be a professional SWAT sniper, then I would go get a job as a professional SWAT sniper.
Exactly.
I think people forget about how a game has to be fun. I think that's why exactly. VR is like a fad. It's like, is it fun to set up all that shit in order to sit down and enjoy a game? And yeah. Is it fun to not be able to reach down and grab your chips or your beer or your drink? You know, you need. I think that's ultimately like why like Wii Sports and the Kinect died. It's like, I don't know about you guys, but if I want to play a game, I just want to like sit in my recliner and just like relax and play a game. Anything that gets in the way of that is not good.
I guess I'm a little different because I don't really. I play games not to relax. I play them to engage in something. So.
Okay.
I have a little bit of both, I guess, but it's mainly just to chill and kind of check out for a while, but sometimes the social component's nice, like in MMOs and things like that, but...
Because I do it for the challenge, pretty much the game. Like, if I'm just going to chill, I actually like just going in the garage and, you know, turning wrenches or something like that. That's, like, relaxing for me, at least. Video games, actually, I get pretty strung up playing video games. So
that's the part I like. I think that's one of the reasons why I really gravitated toward MMOs, though, is because like you can do like anything in one of those games. Like if you just want to sit around and socialize, you can. If you want to go do PvP, you can go do that. You want to run dungeons and raids, you can do that. You can do exploration. You know, so there's just basically anything you friggin' want to do, you can do. And, so it kind of fits any mood, basically.
Speaking of that, one of our topics was open world gaming.
So yeah, I saw you had that. Like, what is that? Because it seems like it's not a new thing. Or it seems like it's a new thing, but I'm like, that sounds like games we've had for a long time, but
yeah, I think it depends. Well, my question is what you consider an open world gaming? Is it you know, like, because I actually asked this question when the new Zelda game came out, is because they're like, it's open world, but you play it and it's like, well, this is just like a bigger version of Ocarina of Time. And they didn't say Ocarina of Time was open world at the time. And like Horizon Zero Dawn, do you consider that open world, like Far Cry, or is it, does an open world game need to be more sandboxy like Grand Theft Auto nowadays? It just depends on what you consider what open world gaming. Because, like, what is it? The new Mass Effect game is BioWare said it's not an open world game, but it has an overworld that you can travel through and all this other stuff, except that when you get to its destination, that's when all the mission stuff happens. So it's kind of like an open world game, but they say it's not.
To me, like, open world's always just meant you kind of have the freedom to progress in the game how you choose, to some extent. I mean, you're always going to have some sort of story narrative you got to follow, but it's like if you, like in Fallout, you know, you can sit there and be like, oh, I want to go over and check out this, like, weird, like, hotel or whatever, and it's got, like, all these, whatever, irradiated people in it, and there's, like, a whole storyline there that you can go and pursue, but... You
they
could
call
also,
those ghouls.
That's what it is, the ghouls. And but it's, well, like, you could also decide to just play the main story, and you would never even see that whole plot thread. Like,
yeah, even in, what, Fallout 3, you can, like, get out of the vault and go directly to the place that your dad is held hostage at. Sorry, spoiler alert for a 15-year-old game. Or a 10-year-old game.
To me, it's like...
Nine-year-old game.
Like, I was trying to think, like, out of all the games I've played, probably, like, the ultimate open-world game I've ever played is World of Warcraft. Like, just because it's like, you get, with your mounts, you get to a point where you can get flying, and you can, like, there's huge continents in that game that are made up of all these zones that have been created over, you know, the last 12, 13 years, however the game's been around. It's like, you can literally get on your mount and fly from one end of the continent to the other and traverse, you know, like, 20 zones and all that. And you can just decide, oh, I'm going to drop down and check this thing out, like, here. You can do, like, whatever the hell you please. And it was, like, a buddy of mine who has played it since the vanilla days. Like, he said that the longest flight path in that game, like, if you took it from, like, a flight terminal to the one at the other end of the continent, it was something like 25 minutes was how long it would take just flying from one end of it to the other, and that's just one of the continents in the game.
I would probably agree with that ideal of you get to progress in the story any way you want, or that's what you consider open world, because it's the same. Well, the new Zelda game is, they're like, there's four things, like, main things you need to do, and there's, like, 10 sub-things, but you can do them in any single order. And, like, you can grab the Master Sword at any time you want to grab the Master Sword.
Okay.
There's no, like, barriers besides just the difficulty of the enemies.
Yeah.
In between you. And there's actually people who've been speedrunning that game in, like, 45 minutes now.
Jeez. Already.
Already. That thing is, when I figured that out, that... how that game is structured, I'm like, this is going to be a speedrunner's paradise, because there's no barriers, artificial barriers between you and the end goal. It's all about skill and equipment that you acquire. There's no BS in between, like, oh, you need this special tool from this one dungeon, so you have to go get that so you can progress in the game. There's none of that in this Zelda game, which makes it's actually a huge departure from, you know, most Zelda games in that aspect.
I mean, all these games are going to have some sort of narrative that you got to, like, hook into at some point, you know, but yeah, it's, you do have a lot of choice in how you get there, like, in some of these games. And I just know, like, the first time I got a flying mount in WoW, I was just like, holy shit. Like, this is awesome. And it's like a total game changer.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I was playing, got my first level 40 mount. And that was like, oh, my God. Because, well, at that point, getting to level 40 took, like, 6 to 7 months.
Well, in vanilla, vanilla wasn't level 40 when you got the mount. Like, you didn't get them first... out before 40, right?
Yeah, you couldn't get them out before 40. So at level 40, you got your first mount, and at level 60, you can get a level 60 mount, which was slightly faster. But it took, like, between 40 and 60 took the same amount of time to get the 1 to 40, because it compresses. And I think that goes back to why I haven't gone back and played that game, is they removed a lot of the... Because I know a lot of people, like, that keep playing it. Basically, the people who give them money like the end game stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they try to get the people that join up to the end game faster, because that's where the money is at.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
I guess that's why I didn't like it, is, you know, the new stuff is they basically rush you to level 60 and that's it. And I'm like, well, it's kind of, I really like the journey, not the destination, so to speak.
Well, the thing is, if you play it and if you didn't use heirloom gear, leveling still isn't that fast. Like, if you use heirloom gear, I don't know if they even had that when you were playing.
No, I played from beta till right before the first expansion, which was
Burning Crusade. Burning Crusade. Yeah, so, like, heirloom gear, it's like this shit you can buy, and then you can use it on your tunes you're leveling, and they'll give you, like, experience boosts and all this stuff, and it'll, like, level with you, so you don't have to worry about keeping on gearing your character as you level.
Do you have to buy it with, like, real dollars?
No, it's just in-game gold
that
you acquire, so... I mean, that's the thing with, like, Blizzard, like, you look at WoW, it's like... There's no reason to spend any money on that game other than the subscription. Like, you can. You know, like, they do have some, like, mounts that you can buy through the store, and there's some pets and stuff, but it's like, you know, 99% of the content for that game is in the game that you subscribe for.
And yeah, it's like, it's very what's their well other done. Game? What's their first-person shooter that they have?
Overwatch.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Overwatch has got some stuff you can buy, but everything you can buy, you can just get in-game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they're pretty good about, you know, not...
screwing their customers over?
Yeah, and that's, that's probably why, you know, WoW's still going strong after all this time. And
I think the last time I looked, they're actually growing numbers right now.
Yeah, Legion has been a very successful expansion, and they're doing a very good job of keeping content coming for it. Like, last Tuesday, they just dropped the 7.2 patch, which added a whole new endgame zone, and then it added, I think, one or two new dungeons, and then there's going to be a new raid coming in a few weeks. And, like, they said this is going to be their most content ever in an expansion, like, when they brought Legion out, like, because they're...
Huh.
They realized, basically, that, like, cause what happens with WoW usually is they drop an expansion, all the people come back, they play it for 2 to 3 months, and then they drop their subs again. So they realized we got to keep, like, churning out that content, you know, on a regular cycle. So now it's like every few months there's something new dropping so that they can keep people subbed.
You got to think Blizzard's back-end tools for developing that game must be so, like, refined at this point to where making that content is really easy in terms of, like, man hours.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. It's one of those things where when you see how that game works and you think about, like, how old it is, I mean, obviously they've done a bunch of, like, reworks
of the engine and stuff.
But it's like they do all this, like, seamless instancing and stuff, like, when you're playing. It's just, like, really phenomenal. Like, I, being in IT and stuff, I would love to be able to, you know, go behind the curtain, you know, and see what their, like, whole back-end system looks like for all of that, because it's quite the game, so...
Yeah.
And they don't really have much for technical issues. You know, it's very rare that you have, you know, latency of any kind.
Oh, yeah. It's not like League of Legends, where in one patch they replace an icon, what the icon looked like, and it broke an entire champion. It's like, how does replacing an image in the UI break a champion?
It sounds like the shit that happens in Old Republic when they do an update for that game. Like, they'll fix, they'll fix some shit, like, you know, a couple of quest bugs and this and that, but then they, like, break something in PvP, like, that's seemingly completely unrelated.
Yeah, you think it'd be a completely different mod object in the code.
Yeah.
Why are they interacting?
But it's like, well, what probably really happened is probably somebody was fucking around with that code, and then somehow that got into the release build when it should have.
It got committed in.
Yep. It's like, yeah, you'll see that stuff happen. It's like, there's nothing in the release notes that's even remotely connected to that. But, yeah, so.
Apparently, though, it was Riot who makes League of Legends. They had, basically, it was like three people who originally built that game engine up. And it was really badly coded. And so by the time that happened, it was like extended beyond belief.
Yeah.
Basically the past like 3 years, they've been basically reworking everything under the hood to fix it. It's pretty good now. Most of the time they can release a champion without breaking four things.
Well, that's good. Now they just break like two.
Yeah, there's only two things now.
That's kind of the problem Old Republic has, is the engine that it's built on is quite lacking. So basically, going to be that game's downfall.
Yeah, the first ever League of Legends tournament. I can't remember I think it was actually the finals. Like, one of the players experienced a bug that made them drop out of the game. And they just were like, they kept the game going, and he had to reconnect into like the world championship for League of Legends.
Oh, jeez.
And nowadays, when there's a bug, they actually have to stop the tournament and restart the game. It's like, that's just how much bigger and, you know, how much more money,
yeah,
basically.
There's a lot of money at stake in those things.
And then they have to have like a conference of like the top League of Legend people to like say, do we need to ban this champion because he's broken right now because of this bug and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, there's so much, like, how about make sure this shit's not broken?
Yeah, have better QA maybe, but yeah.
I think the big problem with that game is there's so many champions. I think there's like over like 50 champions, probably more than that. And you have so many like effects that every champion can do, and what happens when, like, basically it's like when an immovable object hits an unstoppable force. Like, what wins?
That's the thing. You always that's what's always interesting with those games. Like, you see that with, yeah, like League of Legends or Heroes of the Storm. You know, it's like I've been playing MMOs for a while. You know, and you don't have nearly as many, you know, classes in those as you do in things like League of Legends and Heroes of the Storm. But it's like, imagine all the work and testing and effort that has to go into trying to like balance all that shit.
It's impossible. That's why it's continually balanced.
Or unbalanced, you mean?
Yeah, unbalanced. Yeah. And they basically, whenever someone figures out how to exploit something, they either, you know, accept it or they try to, you know, nerf it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's always amazing that the shit's as balanced as it is in all these games. You know, like, I mean, yeah, just due to the law of averages, there's always going to be certain ones that are a bit better. You know, but it's like, if they're at least close, that's pretty impressive to me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you look at, like, you know, in an MMO, I don't know if League of Legends has this sort of stuff or not, but, you know, like, in an MMO, usually you have, like, a class. And then there's usually like three specs you can choose, you know, it might be like tank, DPS, heal, whatever. There might be multiple DPS specs or something, but it's like, then you can gear them all differently too, you know, you can have your abilities set differently. And then, like, you know, like in WoW and stuff, you know, you've got different talents you set, and it's like, they have to like figure out how to like keep all that stuff like relatively balanced across all these classes, all these specs. Like, pretty impressive, really.
Oh yeah, it's similar for League.
Yeah,
except that I think instead of like a couple of classes, you have every single champion is their own thing.
Yes. Yep.
Which is insane to think about. It's like, think about, I it's probably not programmed this way, but think about a state machine that has to account for that.
Yeah, it's
because a state machine would work for like four classes in terms of like priority levels and stuff.
Yeah,
but it's not going to be. I'm hoping it's not like a big nested if list.
Oh god, good Hope not. I think we lost Ben.
Oh, I'm still here.
Yeah, he hasn't talked in like minutes.
I don't think he's ever played an MMO. So
I have nothing to say regarding MMOs. Nope.
Well, how was Horizon kinda like Zero when you Dawn?
And Park, that's when you and Parker go and geek out on like engineering, and then I just kind of phase out. So
okay.
So now we found your kryptonite. It's MMOs.
Well, hey, why don't we talk about 4K and the PlayStation 4 Pro to things out?
You've used a PlayStation 4 Pro, right?
Yeah, we did a teardown of one, so I was like, maybe I'll just hook this up. And so, yeah, I've been playing Horizon Zero Dawn on one.
So did you play that on the regular PS4 as well?
I did not.
Okay.
There's supposed to be a difference, but I did not scientifically try to ascertain what it was.
Yes. Yeah, it's like with 4K, about as scientific as I got with that was that I saw that my big news, I got my new TV finally after 10 years, so...
And it has HDR, right?
Yes, it's like OLED and all this fancy shit.
And you'll never go to the movie theater again!
Pretty much. It was like, holy shit, when we turned that thing on and I put something worth watching on it, I was like, oh my god, like, why didn't I do this sooner? but yeah, like, I noticed Amazon Prime has, like, some free 4K stuff. Not very much, but the one thing that I had something to compare it to was Spectre, the last Bond movie, and...
Mm-hmm.
I watched, like, you know, the opening scene on there, and then I went and watched, you know, like, the Blu-ray and stuff, and I mean, honestly, I couldn't really see any difference, so...
Yeah, well, whatever you gain in resolution with the streaming service, you lose in compression.
Yeah, so it's...
Unless you have a big fiber line.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know if I played a 4K, you know, version of a movie on there compared to, like, the Blu-ray, if I'd really...
Netflix, all of Netflix's original content streams in 4K if you have the option, which Netflix makes you pay extra for.
Yeah, I noticed that it's only like $2 more, though, I think. So,
yeah, it's like it's basically terrible. You have to get their top plan, like 10 screens or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
And then you get 4K, which of course is useless for me because, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, good, just me being here. I guess I'll go and fire up Netflix on my computer, my iPad.
Your stove. Your stove's an IoT device, right?
And on my TV.
That'll show them.
Just to do it. Feel like,
because
screw you,
I can.
Yeah, then it's them all next to each other and then take a picture of it, you know?
I think your ISP would hit you before Netflix would.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, Horizon Zero Dawn looks pretty good. Like, there's options now in games that are pro-enabled. So you can say favorite performance or favorite resolution. Dun, dun, dun.
So you mean it's like a PC game now. You actually have, like, you have to set stuff up now.
Yep. Well, there's a default, but you can change it. So, there, like, if there's the ports of last-gen games, like, I don't know if it's the new Tomb Raider or one of the Tomb Raiders, like... Oh, no, it's The Last of Us. You know how they made a next-gen version of that?
Oh, yeah.
So there's a patch that goes in the next-gen version, which makes it work also with the Pro. And then you can say, okay, you can actually get a native 4K resolution on that at 30 frames a second, or you can do it at 1080p at 60 frames a second. So you can make choices like that.
Hey, does the normal PS4 games that are not Pro-enabled work on the Pro?
Yes, well, they work on it, of course, and there's also a boost mode where you can overclock the graphics processor, so even games that have not been patched to take advantage of it better.
So you probably get higher frame rate.
Yeah, or more consistent rates, yeah.
Is it a big button that's labeled turbo?
I wish it was. Just like an old PC, right?
Yeah, 386.
Yeah, I haven't tried anything.
So that means consoles have just caught up to it. A Intel 386 computer in terms of features
and soon Soon they're going to have all the negatives of PC gaming, but with none of the positives.
Exactly. I mean, I put it this way. Every single time I boot up my PlayStation 3, it has an update.
Oh, so yeah. It's like Steam.
Yeah, exactly. Origin.
Or,
oh, yeah.
Or your driver, or video driver. I'll put it this way. Actually,
yeah, pretty much.
I hadn't updated my driver since like last October. And I think it was the last DLC for Battlefield. It complained about my video driver, and I basically had to update it. Gasp. It took me all of 30 seconds, because for some reason, I can download that faster than the PlayStation can download and install an update.
Yeah, PlayStation update downloads are really slow. I don't know why. That was bad on the PlayStation 3, and it seems a little better in the PlayStation 4. Not much.
What you do with the PS4 is you just put it and have it go into rest mode, and then it'll auto-download it and all that. So, like, I haven't had to manually update my PS4 since I bought it. It's just always updated. So,
I guess that's true.
Hey, guess what? My Atari has never had an update.
The same thing with the Xbox One also. Like, they just came out with, like, some spring update for it, apparently. And it was like, yeah, I came home from work the other day, fired it up, and it's like, oh, hey, you know, new features. And
that's cool.
There's a video you could, like, you know, watch. And they did a really nice job with that video, actually, like, explaining all the new features and how to use them. And
oh, that's right. You have an Xbox One and a PlayStation 4.
He's a 1%er.
So why do you have both of them?
Because I'm me. Well, I had to have Forza, because I actually brought the PS4 first, because what the hell was the game I had to have? It was around Christmas, the year it came out.
Bayonetta 3.
Knack.
Was it Tomb Raider? No.
Yeah, Tomb Raider was on PC, though, so.
Yeah, but fuck that. That's a couch game.
I don't know. I like playing it on PC.
I can't remember, but actually, yeah, I had the PS4 first, and then too. I bought the Xbox One, like, the next year, because that's when Forza came out, and, well, mm-hmm. I had to have that.
Is there a Gran Turismo 7 yet?
Probably in, like, 5 years.
At the end of life, like, after Gran like Turismo 6
more,
was?
After, just like, three Forza like, games come out, so. Yeah.
It'd be like... Death Stranding, you know, it's a PlayStation exclusive, but they forget to say PlayStation 5.
Well, that was like the last Guardian game, too. Didn't that finally come out?
Yeah, it's garbage.
Yeah. Well, you kind of had to figure after all that time.
Yeah.
There's going to be a reason why they're not getting
11 years. Like 11 years, I think.
It looks, I'll put it this way, it still looks like a PlayStation 2 game.
Yeah.
It's basically a PlayStation 2 game, what it looks like with longer draw distance.
Yeah, that's pretty much when they started developing it. It wasn't like 2006 when they...
Yeah, around there. Because that's when... what was that game? Shadow of the Colossus came out. Because if y'all have not played that game, y'all have to play that game.
I think it was like 2004 or something like that. 2003.
Yeah, so they started developing this after that then.
I don't play old games. Unless
I don't
like
either.
Really old.
Even old games I really liked, I don't go back and play.
I'll
never play Mass Effect for that reason. So,
yeah, I still play games that are. I mean, I think I play through Ocarina of Time. Actually, the NES Zelda I still play through every so often.
I like playing Nintendo, like old stuff. I like still.
I am pissed they didn't remaster Mass Effect for like the original trilogy for when Andromeda came out, because that was the golden opportunity.
Well, because all the animations were fucked up.
I wonder if they didn't do it because the original Mass Effect was an Xbox 360 exclusive. Like, it was never released on any other system, so I wonder if that's why they didn't.
You sure? I have it on my PC right now.
It was on PC, but it never went on PlayStation, I should say.
Ah,
gotcha, like, console-wise, it never...
Console exclusive.
Yeah, so...
Was number two an exclusive?
Nope, that was the they brought that one out on PlayStation as well as Xbox.
I didn't realize that. Yep. Chris, you remember back when Mass Effect came out, 2007, like, the PlayStation 3 was still a joke at that time.
Yes.
Nobody wanted to develop that for that system for, like, the first couple of years.
Yeah, well, they made it so hard to develop for.
Right, right.
Yeah, and as someone who on the last podcast said that Mass Effect was probably like their favorite game series of all time, I did not buy Andromeda yet.
So. Yeah, I haven't bought it yet either.
I actually thought about buying it, but then I didn't.
Some of the reviews I've read of it, like I didn't want to see spoilery stuff, which thankfully they avoided, but just the stuff they talked about, it kind of like reinforced my fears about it, because they said, you know, that essentially this game, I mean, it's like BioWare in name only. You know, it's like the people who made the original trilogy, they're not around anymore. Like, they're not the ones who made this one. It doesn't really feel like a BioWare Mass Effect game.
Well, they had the newer BioWare studio do it, Montreal.
Yes, but that's the thing, though. It's the people that, when I think of BioWare, like, those people are gone. Like, they're not around anymore. You know, there's probably like a handful of them left, but, you know, most of them are gone.
Yeah, and they were talking about, like, oh, it's because of the Frostbite engine. I'm like, well, they used the Frostbite engine in Dragon Age Inquisition, and that was a really good game. And the animations were not messed up or anything like what we're seeing in Mass Effect Andromeda. I'm like, why did they not leverage the people who worked on that engine in that game on this game?
See, to me, I'm not even worried about the animation, though. Like, I mean, that's a component. And I saw some of the stuff. I didn't think it was that horrible. And then people said, to be fair, like, the stuff people are making memes of online, if you view it within the context of the game, it fits in. They're like, yes, there's some where they're kind of like, what the fuck type moments. But to me, like, BioWare's biggest sell has always been story.
Yeah, I would agree.
And so when I was reading the stuff about that, where, you know, they were kind of like dinging the story, and, you know, they said there's a few points throughout it where they kind of feel like, you know, kind of those hallmark BioWare moments, but, you know, those are kind of the exception rather than the rule in this game, and that's what kind of made me be like, yeah, I'm going to wait on it. Like, if it would have just been like, it's got some goofy animations and stuff, but, like, the story's really great and everything, I would have been like, fuck it, I'm buying it.
Exactly. I would be the same way.
I would have been in immediately, so.
Because I would say Mass Effect 2 is that's the pinnacle of the Mass Effect series.
Yeah, that game is just phenomenal. Like,
yeah. I still think that's one of the best games. It's probably top 10 best game of all time for me.
It probably is my number one. Like, if I had to just pick one out of the air without really thinking about it, that's probably the one that would come to mind as my favorite game ever made. So, but yeah. So, no Andromeda reviews this time.
Yeah, exactly. We thought we were. I was really close to pulling the trigger, and then
I was too. Yeah,
saw everything. I basically watched a lot of streamers, and I'm like, ooh, this is not. Like, the humor is so different in that game now, too.
I thought about buying it just so you guys would stop telling me to buy a Mass Effect game, but now I'm not.
What's the thing? Like, I read the review. I know you said you won't play old games, and I can appreciate that because I'm the same way, but I'm just like, yeah, I mean, from what I've read about it, without having played it, of course, I'd be like, don't let that be your introduction to Mass Effect. Like,
yeah. Personally, you should really do play 1, 2, and 3.
I could just not play it and then just leave it as it is, like not picking a beautiful flower alongside the road.
But here, you know, think about it this way, Ben. Like, what if for some reason you didn't play Fallout 3 when it came out? And now we're sitting here, like, you know, whatever, 6-7 years later, whatever the hell it is. And
came out right around the same time.
And somebody's like, Fallout 3 is amazing, Ben. You should play it. And you're like, eh.
Yeah, but if you went back and played Fallout 3 now, like, it would suck. Like, the mechanics are junk, the graphics are junk, it's glitchy. And
Actually, I would agree with Ben on that point, because the best thing about that game is how the story unravels.
Right. And that's, like, the most important component of a game.
It is.
It's just like with a movie, like, the story is the most important thing.
Right, but if you play that game,
the tech would get in the way of it.
The tech gets in the way of that. Well, because you already know the story. That's the problem. And so you go back and play it, and if the mechanics were good, that's fine. But if the mechanics are bad and only the story is good, well, you already know how the story plays out, so it's not even fun to play anymore.
Think about everyone complaining how Breath of the Wild, your weapons break. Well, that same thing happened in Oblivion, and it happened in Fallout 3. And so now, you know, Bethesda, like, quote-unquote, dumbed down their games. Like, so if you have a favorite sword, you can keep using it, whatever. So people complained about Bethesda dumbing down the games by, you know, getting rid of those breaking systems. But then they complained when Zelda reintroduces a system where your weapons break. So it's like, dumbing it down was actually what people wanted. So then when they went back to the old ways, people complained about it. So, yeah.
So I can't remember, like, in those games, like, when it broke, was it just gone? Like, you couldn't fix it?
Or could you could, if you had two of the same gun, which I didn't realize until, like, you know, 60 hours in, you could take, if you had two of the same gun, you could combine them into, like, a better gun. So you could combine weapons to fix them, basically. Yeah. Or you could pay people to repair them. Or I think you could repair them yourself if you had, like, some insane, like, repair skill buff.
Yeah. But the it's not even that, though. It's the problem with that game is when Fallout 3 came out, it didn't graphically look good either. And it's just the textures look pretty bad. The models don't look that good.
It's really drab.
The gunplay is okay. It's not actually, it's from a technical standpoint, it's a really bad game. But it has a really good story and really good characters that have really good voice acting.
Good location.
It's not
good
a location. Bad game from a technical perspective, for Christ's sake.
It does! Now, it's terrible!
Nowadays it would be considered to
But nowadays is like, whatever, like...
Yeah, but that's what I'm going with this, though.
7 years later.
Jones, it's like, Jones, it's just like people, it's like people who won't watch black and white movies or movies with subtitles.
But, yeah, well...
I'm not like one of those people,
But, Jones, this is what I'm getting with it is people expect a certain level of how a game should play nowadays. And so when you go back and play, if you've already played Fallout 3 and already know the story, already know what the characters are going to do, all the good stuff from Fallout 3, it's not a good game anymore.
But that's not like, what we're talking about. I was talking about Ben didn't play it for some reason, just knows it exists, and that's it. And then somebody's his answer is going to be, because his answer is the same as what it is for Mass Effect, but it's like...
No, what I'm saying, though, is Ben should go back and play it because he hasn't experienced that story yet. He should.
Yeah, but he's the person who said on multiple occasions he wishes he could delete the part of his brain that remembers playing that game so that he could experience it again for the first time.
Okay, well, see, maybe if they made a Mass Effect... special edition.
Yeah.
No, I still wouldn't buy it. Ben, is you should be able to go back because you can get past the kind of clunkiness in that game because the story is so good. It's like if Ben can't go, me and Ben, or actually probably and Joe and Sue, we can't go back and play Fallout 3 because the clunkiness of the game gets in the way because we already know all the good stuff about that game.
It's like if you play like GoldenEye now, it's a really clunky game with a terrible frame rate.
Yeah, by the way, everyone, that is the worst FPS ever.
But it was the best FPS ever when it
came out. Cat's ass 20 years ago.
Yeah. Oh my god, that game is 20 years old this year.
Yep.
Insane.
I still remember working at Walmart and every time somebody would buy an N60... Well, 80% of the time somebody would buy an N64, that was the game they bought.
Well, yeah, that was a system seller.
It was like that, and then sometimes people would buy, like, Donkey Kong Country, but it was almost always GoldenEye.
Yep.
It's awesome, so... But yeah, I mean, actually, it'll be an interesting test. One of my coworkers got Fallout 4, and then he mentioned that he got Fallout 3 for free with it as, like, a digital download, and he was kind of... I don't know. He was kind of like, Fallout 4, I haven't really gotten into it. And I'm like, oh, you should just go back and play 3.
So exactly.
We'll see if he actually does it or not. But I'm like, yeah, dude, that's like glorious. But
yeah, because a lot of the games I go back and play, like older games, I go back and play because the gameplay is really fun. And the story at that point, the stories were really good in those games, but... The story at that point kind of takes the back seat in the game.
Yeah, yeah. That is the thing that's interesting, though. Like, I think about the games I've been playing recently, and, I mean, they're, like, actually old games. I mean, granted, they're always being developed and refined, but, I mean, World of Warcraft, it's, like, whatever, 13 years old now?
Don't remind me.
And I started playing Diablo 3. Like, I've had it for a while, and I barely played it. And then, like, Sunday, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to start playing this again, and been ripping away at that. That's been out for, God, how long now? Quite a while. 5-6 years, something like that, maybe. I don't know.
I keep falling back to free-to-play games.
Yeah, that's understandable. Heroes of the Storm is a good free-to-play game. So, yeah. But if you play League, there's probably no reason to play it. Although Blizzard puts their own spin on that, from what I understand.
But... Oh, you're getting off topic again with the RPGs.
Well, Heroes of the Storm isn't one of those. That's
what topic
the...
are we supposed to be on?
Heroes of the Storm is like a MOBA game or whatever the hell those things are called.
Yeah, MOBA.
Yeah. I'm not sure what topic we're on.
4K.
Oh, yeah, 4K.
Oh, I think we're off 4K by now.
Okay.
I do need to actually see some of the actual content. The only 4K thing I've watched so far was, like, that opening sequence of Spectre.
I think the biggest thing, instead of 4K, is actually the new HDR stuff that they're doing now. I think that's going to be bigger in terms of appreciable visual improvement in a screen. It's
yeah, apparently
be 4K. It's gonna be HDR.
The base, the regular PlayStation 4 can do that as well.
So is HDR. That because they can control, like, the backlighting of the screen now? How's that work?
No, it just means there's a wider color gamut. There's probably like 16 bits per pixel per color or something.
Yeah, because they say you have to have a HDR compatible screen, so it's not just the signal going to the, like, it's not the standard HDMI signal that's going.
Being able to control the backlight would be irrelevant with an OLED TV like Jones has.
How is that, Jones?
Oh, it's glorious. It's pretty
that's
amazing.
I'm bringing you the MGC so I can look at it.
You know,
yeah, I'll rent a van and it's 65 inches. So
just strap it to the hood of your car, man. It'd be fine.
When I go to the movies now, Jones, it's like the black levels suck. Like my TV's not even remotely as good as yours, but just like any modern TV has better black levels than a theater, because if you think about it, the darkest thing on a theater screen is basically a white screen that's not being hit by light.
Yeah, it's silverish.
Yeah, right? Yep.
Whereas with an OLED, if the pixel's off, it's off. It's like,
so do OLEDs have a similar contrast of CRTs of days of yore?
That's pretty awesome. Like, if I watch, like, a movie on it, you know, like, all the movies still have, you know, black bars at the top and bottom. I mean,
but they're perfect?
It's like, yeah, perfect. It's like... Yeah. Where, you know, before you'd always kind of, it was kind of like grayish, or not really gray, but you know what that look is.
Charcoal.
Where it's like, yeah. But it's like, yeah, it's just freaking, like, I was watching Gravity, and it's like, yeah, like the space scenes, just phenomenal. And then, like, it was just pure black. Like,
did they
the
make
top
OLED? Yeah, they do. Do they make OLED, like, computer monitors yet?
Probably.
Here's an L. Oh, if I wanted a 55 inch, I guess technically you can just plug a computer in whatever screen you wanted. 4K 55 inch from LG, $2,300.
I got the 65 inch LG OLED, so.
Yeah, like I see that with my TV. When things are all black, you can see, like, you can see around the edges, like, oh, there's where the lights are. It's not perfect. It's better, but it's not perfect. And I don't know, like, movie theaters, like your TV looks better than a movie theater now, Jones. And
oh, definitely. Stuff's in focus, for one thing.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? And so, do you read this stuff about, like, how they're going to have, like, what, a 3-week video on demand release window now for movies that's coming?
Yeah, it's not surprising.
That's like, theaters are effing doomed. And you know what? They're going to die for the same reason that arcades died. It's because the home experience will be better.
Yep.
It would probably get there. I think.
I know you're going to say Alamo Draft House right now.
No, I was going to say it's movie theaters like that will survive because they offer more than just the movie.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're just talking about the quality of the image, like, I would say, like, a 3-year-old TV like mine beats a theater.
Yeah.
And
I don't
Jones's type, which is the future, just blows it away.
But the thing is, I don't know how many people go to a theater just to have an amazing picture. I don't think a lot of people actually care about
But that's what everybody talks about online. It's like, oh, it's the big screen experience, a big screen. It's like, yeah, it's a big projection.
I think a lot of people go, especially families do not go for that reason. The families go to go so it's something different for their family to do.
Yeah, it's like a way to get out of the house, basically.
Exactly. But... yeah, families go to movies called Boss Baby, so what do they know?
Some went to Beauty and the Beast, too, at least. So, you know, it's But
well, I did watch the Kevin Spacey Turns Into a Cat movie because it was on Amazon.
Of course you did.
Well, because we were talking about watching it for Shitty Movie Night, and I'm like, I should probably just check this movie out. And it's one of those movies that's not remotely bad enough to be a shitty movie night.
I talked to some people that saw it, and they were like, eh, you know, it's all right for...
yeah,
a movie like that, basically.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, but it
looks better in your own home. Oh, you know. Oh, here's another thing. Okay, like let's say I want to watch Get Out, which apparently is the greatest movie ever made. Right?
I've never heard of it.
Oh, I might heard about that one. It sounded interesting.
You know what I do? I go to Amazon. I pay $6. Yep. I push the button, and the movie starts.
Yep.
I don't have to sit through. I know I've said this a million times, but I think the worst thing about theaters, like around here, I mean, I don't think other patrons are a problem. I mean, that doesn't happen around here. Maybe in a big city or like a crappy area, but it's the 30 minutes of trailers and all the commercials and all that crap. I hate that shit. Yeah, I just want to watch a movie.
Yeah, that shit's gotten really out of hand.
I would agree. Again, I'm only pretty much go to the Draft House, so this, my experience is skewed. But they always tailor the trailers for like those movies, and so
yes, the Draft House does an above average.
So I would agree because I did go see what was the movie? I went to go see Rogue One at an AMC because someone bought us tickets, basically. And I would agree there is a lot of BS that happens before movies that shouldn't exist.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's like basically you can write off like 20 minutes easy. Like,
yeah, before you show up.
Plays. And then here's the thing, like...
and the problem with those regular ones is they don't have beer. Fuck those places.
Okay, but yeah, you're talking...
ones now.
Yeah, here. It's, but yeah, the experience of the theaters here, even the fancy beer ones, it's still not as good as Alamo Drafthouse, although the seats are nicer. But here's the thing. Like, if a family is like, oh, look, instead of spending like $60 to go see Beauty and the Beast, if we can just wait a few weeks and pay $25, like, they're pushing for $50, but now it might be as low as like $25 or $30. Because here's the thing, like, families, like, the biggest pain is, like, packing up the kids and going out to do something. If they can just push a button and have it stream into their home, that's what they're going to do.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I would agree there. And that's actually good for most movie patrons, because now you don't have kids showing up.
That's true.
That is true.
It won't be good.
You might actually get more people to show up to movie theaters.
I mean, you'll always have the stuff like, you know, the date night shit and all that, too, but it's like... Yeah, I mean, they're definitely dwindling. We talked about this before. I mean, that's why they've been, you know, renovating the theaters and putting in these fancy seats because less people go. So now they're like putting in nicer seats that take up more space. So there's less seats because it's like, well,
because fewer people are going.
Yeah, they weren't filling it anyways, but at least they're trying to improve the experience for the people that do come. But
that's actually the interesting thing about that is one of the big things here in Texas, at least, is the drive-in movie industry is actually taking off again.
I don't think it ever really went away.
Yeah, I'd say like in Wisconsin, we've still got a few around, and the ones that are around the area are pretty popular. Like, there's one.
Yeah. Aren't they like?
Kind of toward the Dells, isn't there one that's?
Yeah, there's still one in our hometown, right?
That one's still hanging in there.
You know what the cool thing about the outdoor is? It's cheap.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really cheap. Well, you pay per car. You don't pay per person.
The thing with that, too, is it's good for, like, I went with, like, Dale and his wife and the kids. Like,
you don't have to unpack the kids.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, and it's nice. And then, too, like, if the kids are kind of making noise and stuff, well, it's contained to your car. So you're not having to be like, oh, God, we're, like, annoying the shit out of everybody around us. You know, like, it's got like those aspects to it. So it's like you can bring your baby like along with you, you know.
Well, I thought you were going to say
sitter and stuff. And
so yeah, like if they don't have to unpack the kids from the car and pack them in the car, that's one less step.
Yeah, it's pretty
4K outdoor movie theaters. $1 million plan.
Theaters are doomed. But here's the thing, like they're trying to make theaters into more like an event date night out, like make it fancy, you know, to kind of to justify the cost.
Yeah.
But it's still what is the experience then? Like you're still watching an inferior picture.
But people don't care about that when they go to the theater.
I think they will.
I think there's less people that care about that.
But look at right now, like Americans are seeing fewer movies than ever, but like India and China, they're eating it up because they're less industrialized and people don't have big houses with 65-inch TVs. Like, look at the big TVs are super common here in America, but not over in poor countries like China. So they go to movie theaters just like we went to movie theaters like 50, 60 years ago.
So I think the thing too for the point about, you know, the picture and stuff, though, too, is, like, I know there's a lot of people, you know, like, when they'll look at the Black Friday ad or whatever, it's like, oh, man, there's, like, this, you know, 50-inch TV for, like, $300, you know, and they're, like, all excited, but it's a piece of shit. But they're just excited because the screen's big, which kind of goes to Parker's point about, like, well, the theater screen's big, and that's what you were saying, too. You see people online talking about, oh, the big screen, and... You know, it kind of like ties in.
Oh, so you have to see this movie with the big screen experience. It's like, do I really have to? Because if the picture's too big, I can't fully absorb the frame into my field of view.
Yeah, like to me, the last movie I saw that I would have been upset with myself if I didn't see it in the theater would have been like Interstellar. And then, but that was actually shot like with IMAX cameras for parts of it.
And the rest of it was CG generated.
And then it could be put onto our now fake IMAX theater in Madison where you can see the pixels.
Yes. And then, like, before that would have been probably Gravity. So basically, like, really awesome, like, space-themed movies you should see in the theater. Just about everything else you don't need to. So
I don't think you should be paying, you know, $17 for an IMAX ticket and be able to see the pixels. I can't see the pixels on my home TV. I can't see the pixels on my computer monitor here. Why? A premium experience? You know, it should be beyond state of the art. You know, it should be better than what you have in your own home.
I would agree.
If you can see the pixels,
Can
see the pixels, it isn't. And that's why it's doomed.
That's like I was sitting here.
It sounds like you just got shitty theater there.
They're
we used to have a real IMAX, but then they put in a digital projector. I think Interstellar was the first movie I saw when they did that. And yeah, no joke, Parker. You can see the pixels. It's pathetic.
Did you actually count them, though? What the actual true resolution was with your magnifying glass up in the front?
I probably could have tried to guess what the resolution was. But here's the thing. There's a lot of, you know, all these theaters that had to, like, buy a digital projector just to stay in business. There's a lot of theaters that have 2K projectors, which is a lower resolution than your average cell phone now. A lot of movies are still only mastered in 2K. Even modern movies, like, you know, so you might buy a 4K Blu-ray of a movie that was mastered at 2K.
They should master it on vinyl. True analog. No, it'd be Laserdisc, I guess.
Well, guys, I think we've gone over quite a few topics for one podcast that I'll probably have to edit down.
Yeah, this is episode 100.
Oh, so it's a super special
super
podcast.
Max.
We can go on for another 3 hours.
Next time we'll have to talk about mobile whales and dolphins.
Yeah, exactly. Or board games, or the GTA sales numbers, or the Steam UI. You know, like actually like 5 of our topics out of 7 we didn't get to.
We had like 10 topics in the end.
A lot of it was eaten up by the World of Warcraft thing that I totally didn't listen to.
That's okay.
But I guess I'll have to in editing.
Y'all will talk about some weird movie, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's what I said to Ben when you went to the bathroom. I was like, well, this is like when you and Ben like geek out on some like engineering shit, and then I just kind of like zone out for about 5 to 10 minutes. I'm like,
so
well,
browse Amazon.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so I'm like, well, this is so for Ben, that's MMOs. So
oh yeah, I checked my LCD screen project here while you guys were talking about World of Warcraft.
So we got to make that a point to bring up World of Warcraft in every single episode from now on.
Hey, when there's something to talk about, sure.
Exactly.
So, you guys could make a separate podcast. It'd be called the World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft.
Parker's got to start playing again.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't played in like 8 years.
Oh my gosh.
Well, there'd be a lot of stuff for you to experience that you haven't seen.
It would be a whole new world of Warcraft.
A whole new world.
It actually would be right now.
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
Okay, so what movie should Disney make into live action?
Haven't they done just about all of them now?
Well, they're talking about doing Aladdin. Like, I think Guy Ritchie's going to do it, probably before King Arthur flops. He's got to, you know, ink the deal.
How far back are we allowed to go?
As back as far as you need to, I would think.
Seven Dwarfs would be pretty good.
Didn't they already do a Snow White?
I think they did a Snow White movie.
They did that Snow White and the Huntsman, which is kind of...
Does that count?
That wasn't even Disney that made that, though, because isn't Snow White kind of like public domain?
Well, yeah, it's a really old story.
I think Universal? Was Universal?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, there's two Snow White movies, because that Mirror, Mirror, and Huntsman.
That's right, yeah, and then the Huntsman one.
Because obviously people need two Snow White movies at once.
Why can't we get some new Snow White tales? Wasn't that what Frozen was? Wasn't that kind of like a new one?
No, that's based off a really old story called The Snow Queen.
Oh.
But since now Disney will not give feminine names to movies or have a title longer than one word, it was changed to Frozen.
Let's see, what else is there?
Like, if Beauty and the Beast came out now and it was new, it would be called Beastly.
Beastly. What about Ratatouille?
Live action rat.
Oh, rats
could be. Don't be like,
you can get what's his name.
It's gotta be like Ninja Turtles where they just had a real fucking rat. So, you know, like by the
movements from my cage.
There was a real rat in some of that.
Oh yeah, there is. Hilarious.
You can cast all like the TV chefs.
Yeah. Oh, so like Gordon Ramsay has to fight
yelling at a rat. Like you can never make this.
No, I might see that movie.
It's a Gordon Ramsay Ratatouille shirt.
It'd be like an R-rated Ratatouille movie. Where Gordon Ramsay could just, like, tear him to shreds. And just...
Oh, maybe, yeah, yeah. Oh, maybe or... it's a sequel to Ratatouille, and the rat goes on to a celebrity cooking show with Gordon Ramsay.
He could be, like, co-host of the show or something. It could be Gordon Ramsay and this rat, like, debating people's cooking skills.
Yeah.
Well, they already made a Jungle Book live action, didn't they?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Aladdin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish Chuck Russell would direct Aladdin, but he won't. It'll be Guy Ritchie for some damn reason. So there'll be lots of Prince scenes of with, like, Persia? Aladdin. Like, no, Prince of Persia was directed by David Yates, I think. That guy who did all the Harry Potter films. Oh. I think so, yeah.
That movie was pretty solid, actually.
Yeah, I actually think that was one of the better video game adaptions.
Yeah.
Yeah, out of them,
unless you go like into the old school. Because otherwise, I mean, stuff like Lion King, it would have to be all just CG.
I think they can pull off a Wall-E.
I was wondering about that you could.
Wall-E was almost like live action, though. Really, wasn't? How about James Cameron could film Little Mermaid actually under the ocean?
They could spend $400 million making it,
and then if it did,
no, that Beauty and the Beast movie's been making like just mad stacks,
crazy. Like it probably went over $400 million U.S. today.
Oh, I got it. So, that'd be the ultimate, a Toy Story live action.
I wonder if they'll do that with the Pixar stuff, like Incredibles. you know. But I mean, that's then it's Incredibles just a superhero movie.
Once they hear our idea for Ratatouille, they probably will. I'm going to send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Pixar with that idea in it. And they can mail back money.
Yeah, but yeah, out of the other stuff, it's probably... I was trying to think what other, like, 90s Disney there'd be. Like, you've got Mulan and stuff, but it'd make more sense to do Aladdin.
I think they're talking about doing Mulan as well, of course, for China.
Yeah,
What about Lilo and Stitch?
No. I don't think that would work, though.
There's only one creature in that movie.
No, there's aliens in it. There's lots
guys
of
that are, yeah, after him to, like...
Oh, yeah.
The guy who created him and his little minion guy. And then if you get into, like, the other shit, there's, like, more.
It'd be like E.T. except in Hawaii.
That movie is fucking awesome, though.
It was good, yeah. Yeah. I like the part where he's got the wig on and he's like, let me try it. He's like, no!
And Stitch is like, hooked on Elvis and stuff. They have all kinds of Elvis songs in the soundtrack. And
at least I never have to worry about them making a live-action version of my favorite Disney movie.
Roadhouse?
No. What if they made a Disney version of Roadhouse?
My favorites are like Wall-E and Lilo and Stitch, so I think I'm fairly safe.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Mine's Hunchback of Notre Dame. They'll never remake that.
Yeah, but that can be good. That's an easy.
You know what they should remake? They should remake Atlantis: Lost Empire.
Ooh,
that would be cool.
Cameron like, could direct that one too.
Yeah, because it's underwater. It's like I'll direct any movie you want as long as it's underwater.
I wonder
and
if
I'll
like,
have Ed Harris drown.
Did Disney
in
do
it.
That space movie?
What, Black Hole?
No, it's an animated movie.
Titan AE?
Oh, yeah.
Titan AE, yeah.
Actually, Titan AE would be a good candidate for a live
action. I actually like that movie. It's been a while since I've seen it, though.
It's all right. It's
kind of dull.
The story's a little...
So who did that movie?
Oh, it was Don Bluth and Fox made that movie.
Ah, yep, Fox Productions.
It actually started out as a pitch for a live action movie, but then like I think Don Bluth had something like 16 months to make it. Which is insane.
I was actually looking. Filmed gross $36.8 million on a $100 million budget.
A lot of people like that movie, though. Yeah, that's a lot of money. Yeah.
I wonder if before he dies, if like Cameron will film a movie in space.
Well, is he going to be able to make any other movies besides Avatar before he dies?
That's a good point. He's got, what, like four of those or something?
Have they even made the second one yet?
No, I got pushed back again, too.
Yeah, who's going to care about it, then?
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
How long has it been since the first one? No one's going to care about it.
2009.
That's been...
I bet they will.
That's been 8 years, Ben. No one cares about that franchise anymore.
People will turn out. I don't know if it'll do the money the first one made, but it'll be pretty big, I'm sure.
I bet it'll be big.
Isn't the second one supposed to be kind of underwater? Like, isn't there supposed to be some water?
I think so. They like go,
some shit.
Yeah, they go underwater.
The Gungan are going to be there.
Probably. That'll probably be what they rip off in this one. It'll be like the Gungan city from Phantom.
Yeah, a Jar Jar like character.
It'll be Pocahontas .. underwater.
So if one of the characters has a tongue that's like a frog, we know they ripped off on Jar Jar.
Would be a good time, but yeah, it's like, aren't they kind of like in their we're waiting for technology to catch up phase again?
No, they're that now they're like in there. We want to release it at Christmas to make a buttload of money like we did before, but Star Wars has that date locked down
in the phase. Way. Yep,
because it was supposed to come out like I think. Well, they had like 2018 lockdown.
Yeah.
And then, what was it? That's when the Han Solo movie will come out. And yeah, they keep pushing it back, like a Christmas.
So you mean Star Wars has basically stolen the show in terms of AAA movies on Christmas time?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even Titanic did that. Like, and then Avatar after. It's like if they realize how much money you could possibly make at Christmas.
Well, the thing is, it's like you have Christmas, and then, although this is starting to change a little bit now, but, it used to be, it's like you got through Christmas, and then it's like basically nothing would get released in January and February. So it's like if you have a big movie sitting there, you're like making money for a long time with no competition. Yep. But now it's actually starting to change. Like stuff's starting to, because you've had things like Deadpool be successful and things like that, and like American Sniper and
this year you have it seems like 5,000 movies were released in March. Seems like all the movies are being released before May, like all the big stuff.
Yeah. They started doing the same thing with video games. Is usually the first quarter of the year was dead time for video games.
And I could almost see it. Yeah, I could almost see it like movies moving away from summer, because you go to a movie in a theater, so it's more of like a winter spring thing.
Yeah.
Well, you say that, but down here in Texas, that's what you want to do is get away from the heat. So you want to go in the summer.
I know people who have said that they'll go to the movies in the summer just because it's cool there. I've known people to say that, actually.
But again, as the price keeps going up, there's probably cheaper places with air conditioning.
When I was in college, to save on electricity, since we couldn't really afford to run the air conditioner for a long time, I would go ride the bus because it was free for students. And it was air conditioned. And when it's 110 degrees outside, being in the 80-degree bus was awesome.
I suppose.
Awesome.
So you just ride around campus in the bus doing the homework.
All right. Well, let us know what you thought of these topics in the comments below.
Where below is, don't ask us.
use the middle mouse scroll wheel and scroll down the screen. That is
I think there's a comment section. Yes. All right. Well,
it's broken on the website.
For all of the topics that we missed this month, we'll make sure we get them next month. And thanks for tuning in for our supersized episode 100.